The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you. We ask that your presence indwells this place in a tangible form as we begin to go through your word. Let your word change us. Mekum brate la kaya barato shata. Hilo vrenda zople krakum brate la kabarate vata. Ila dija prekona mendoza be. Ila kogova regepete ya. And so do not be afraid, but put your trust in me, says the Lord. For I'm even making rivers in the desert. And where it looked like there has been a dead end, I am creating paths. For what looks like darkness is not really darkness. At this point, it looks like everywhere is looking gloomy and dark. But light is bursting forth. And that light is you. That light is in you. The light you carry is going to light up every darkness. And what looked like it was tough will suddenly become soft and very easy. And so don't complain asking where is your God. For I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I've always lived inside of you, says the Lord. And I want you to cooperate with me. For I'm working out something even this month. And you will testify. You will share of my goodness. For like I said, I'm making rivers in the desert, causing water to flow from the rock. And out of that difficult situation will come the biggest of testimonies, says the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. Only be not afraid and be not dismayed. Be not troubled. Yes, the devil is going to send fears to your heart, but don't take it. Stay in faith, stay conversing, stay trusting me. For I'm working out something. The angels have gone forth. That bring in the goodies, and it will not be long again. You will have them in your hands and in your life as a reality as they are in the spirit now. In the Nabalako Barata. Let's hope you're not afraid. Be confident. Be strong. Give some time to thank me every day. Take some time to thank me every day. Because the answer, the supplies, they are here. And you will testify about them. Says the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. Did you receive those words? I won't give the Lord a big shout this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's have our seat. Okay, how to cast out devils per tray. Hallelujah. How many of us are here on Thursday? Let me see if you're here on Thursday. If you're not here on Thursday, you really missed out on a very important stuff that we addressed even in this subject. Amen. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you want to cast out devils? Ask the person. You know, one of the things about this church is the fact that if you're not someone that is interested in doing a lot for God and being a powerful tool and the instrument in the hand of God, many of the things you are doing here, you'll find them very boring. Let me say that again. If you don't have any interest in being a powerful instrument in the hand of God, you'll find many things you are doing very boring. Why are you teaching us how to cast out devils? Am I a pastor? I don't get the point. And that's the point. I want you to understand, okay, as a word of introduction, that God actually wants to use you. You see, God doesn't just want to save you and then you live on earth. God also wants to pass through you to be a blessing to others. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us that he died. Okay, 14 and 15. He said, either way, the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, and we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. Verse 15, he said, he died for all, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but also him that died for them. He said, the reason Jesus died is so that you will stop living for yourself. So you start living for him. So what I try to do for you in this church is to make sure that your life is counting in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as you would have learned, and you will still learn, that the most important things for you on earth will not be to have acquired all the money or to give birth to many children. It is what you've done in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even though I could have simply titled this teaching, how to keep the devil out of your own life, which is not a bad teaching too, I want you to also learn how to cast out devils from others, because it will be part of your responsibility as a Christian. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Because you're going to meet people who are demon-possessed. You're going to meet people that have problems. I already showed you Jesus casted out devils. It was a regular thing in his ministry. The apostles casted out devils. The disciples casted out devils. So casting out of devils is not a special thing for some set of Christians. No. It's not for pastors alone. And hear me, friends. You better learn how to cast out devils, because apart from the fact that you will need it for ministry, you will need it for everyday life. Because as you will learn and as we've been learning, the devil is going to attempt to afflict people that you know. The devil is going to attempt to afflict even your children. And if you don't know how to send him packing, you know, I was sharing with you on Thursday, most of the things that people are complaining about in their home are simply activities of the devil that they would have checked out if they were taught on how to do it. So devil afflicts people. One thing you must know about the devil is that he's not a gentleman. He's not such a person that if you say, if you don't disturb me, I will not disturb you. Well, that's not true. He's going to come and attempt to afflict you. And I've shown you already that the fact that you're a Christian does not automatically exempt you from the attack of the devil. So there are people who are believers who are still being oppressed by the devil. And you must learn how to check the devil out. Yes, check him out of your own life, but also from people. As we go about preaching the gospel, as we interact with people, people are demon-possessed. People are troubled by Satan. Many of them all over the place. And you must learn how to deal with them. It might interest you to know, and you might get to find out at the end of this teaching, that many people you know who are around, even in your workplace, are being tormented by devils. Many of them are even being possessed by the devil. Many of them are being used of the devil. I get to the point. There are some places I get into, and I begin to find some kind of strange hostilities coming from people. Sometimes unnecessary hostilities. I know what it is. The Bible tells us that every time demons saw Jesus, they began to cry out. Some of us, you wonder why you get in some environment and someone you've never known before just becomes unnecessarily hostile towards you. You say, no, don't talk to me. Sometimes it is whatever is working in him that is reacting towards you. Are you following me this morning? Are you following me? Did you guys bring your voice to church this morning? Or you left it at home? Glory to God. Sometimes it is the spirit you carry that is responding to what they have inside of them. I've seen that happen many times. Just meet people randomly, and they're just unnecessarily hostile towards you. For no reason. For no reason. Sometimes. Not all the time though, but sometimes. Hallelujah. So one of the things I try to do for us on Thursday, if you are here on Thursday, is to get us out from extremes. You remember that? Out from extremes. There are extremes that God has to pull you out from. Of course, there's one extreme now that I was dealing with on Thursday, where people say things like, there's nothing like deliverance, there's nothing like casting out of devils, it's not important, it's not necessary. And that's a terrible extreme. Because anybody that is talking like that is already in the devil's bondage. One of the major things the devil wants to do to you is to convince you that he doesn't exist. You get what I said now? He will convince you that he doesn't exist, and you accept it. And maybe I've accepted it in the name of knowledge. So I have light, superior light, superior knowledge. All this devil is not, if it's the devil that is telling you that he doesn't exist. Because even Jesus, your Lord, said the devil exists. Paul casting out devils. Peter casting out devils. In your own time, that same devil that casting out has jumped into your spirit and telling you that he doesn't exist. That's wrong. The devil exists and he afflicts people. Hallelujah. Are you still here? We're looking at that on Thursday. How that you cannot get into that extreme of saying, you know, there is no devil. I also taught you on, you know, why you should not get into the extreme of claiming a certain false immunity for the believer. Remember I mentioned that on Thursday. When people say things like, because I'm a believer, this thing cannot happen to me. That's wrong. You should rather say that because you're a believer, this thing should not happen to you. But whether it can, it can. Even Jesus, your Lord, was tempted of the devil. Amazingly, he was tempted of the devil after a 40 days fast. So don't think that because you pray too much, the devil is just going to say, avoid him. Well, no. He will keep trying. That's why we keep winning him. Are you what I'm talking about? So sometimes I see, you know, pastors and ministers, some of you that are, God is using and God is going to use much more. People come to them and then they say things like, you know, sir, this that are happening to me. Some of those cases that I bring into them are demonic cases. And they begin to counsel. You cannot counsel someone out of a problem caused by the devil. Let me say that again. You cannot counsel someone out of a problem caused by demonic oppression. If someone has a problem with lying is just a bad character.
You can counsel someone out of it. You can counsel, you can express the word of God and all that. But if that lying is now being manipulated by a demonic oppression, as some cases can be, counsel cannot handle it. I shared with you on Thursday about that particular lady who had a husband who was very faithful to her and suddenly began to cheat with this particular lady. And this woman will say sometimes, in the mid, even if it is 1 or 2 a.m., and the brother, the lady calls, I want to see you now. The brother will get up from the bed and start going there. Even if it is 2 a.m. And it was like that. And she complained. And she began to complain, wicked man. Nonsense. Anything is scared. It's kids that will kill you. It's a man that will kill her. The man will sometimes apologize and still, when once that girl calls, he goes. You know what they call it? What they call it? That guy matter thing. Hey, it was real. Say amen. You think it's not real? So the pastor kept counseling this lady. Be a good woman at home. Dress well at home. Love your husband. What are you not doing that you should be doing? And lady kept adjusting. So one day, lady came again. And the man said, this is no longer normal. Take me to your house. And they got there. And this brother was a serious Christian, but was no longer coming to church. Really, they got there. He was lying down on the couch. I saw him say, Pastor, you came to see us today. He said, yes, I came to see you in the name of Jesus. Come out of him. And the man vibrated under the anointing and went down. And God began to apologize to his wife. Eventually, he made one mistake, which was sleeping with a lady. And that lady had done something on herself. And then he was gone. Now, that kind of issue is not counseling that will handle it. It's not advice. If you like, cancel from that to tomorrow. Do Bible study. The thing is still there. So all these false ministers, I'm going to show you today as we progress how people, believers and non-believers, open their doors to the devil. Yes, I'll show you. Are you still here? One other extreme I gave you on that Thursday is superstition. This one is a terrible extreme. Superstition. Where they, and I said it's better you're even in the other extreme than you are here, but both of them are still bad. Everything is devil. Fly perches on them. They've come for me. Rats enters their house. They've come for me. I cannot travel without my anointing oil. Because if I travel, I have to drink it and pour it on myself. Crazy superstition. You know, that unnecessary fear and unnecessary consciousness of the devil. That is totally wrong. That's superstition. I used to hear everybody. Unnecessary fear. Oh, they are so conscious of the devil. I showed you that community that Paul went to. That they had many gods they were worshipping to the point that they had a god called the unknown god. Imagine the community, as in, they were worshipping so many things that they had this one, we don't know your name, but you are shy a god, become a god. What's your name? Unknown. And they were worshipping. Superstition, that's what many believers are. Everything is just demon. Everything is demon. You refuse to read your book and you fail. You say, it's my village people. It's not your village people. You are your village people. Say amen. You are your village people. You know, sometimes we talk about finances and all that. Money enters your hand, it goes. Money enters your hand. Now, that is a manipulation that can make that happen. Where people get money and lose it immediately. But sometimes it's just people's irresponsibility. And the problem with superstition is that when you get to that extreme, you demonize everything and you will no longer take responsibility. So you find someone that is very careless with his spending. Say it is the devil fighting him. No, it's not the devil. You are the devil fighting yourself. And I tell you what is going to happen. If that continues, the devil will now begin to manipulate you to do it more. Because money enters your hand. Well, I've had to cancel 3 people in my office today, you know, this week. Anyway, if you don't like what I'm going to say, it's okay by you. I don't say everything you should like. I just tell you what God says I should tell you. I've canceled a few persons this recently, and I told them to reduce how they give money to people. Yes. Some people, I told them, reduce how you send money home. Say, sir, shall you teach us to give to our parents? Yes. You know, there are some things that we do. We stop ourselves, I'm digressing entirely, but we stop ourselves from building a solid financial structure for ourselves. A young lady is beginning to make money, and the parents are on her, blackmailing all the time. I carried in this room for 9 months. How can I have money? I don't send it to me. So she makes 10,000. You are in this room, but I carried you. That you send 8,000. You send 9,000. Before the month is over, you are broke, you've borrowed, and that cycle continues. You think you are being lovely. You are not being wise. So what did I advise the person to do? I said, see, fix what you give to your parents. Now, there can be emergencies here and there, I understand. But shouldn't be often. And even this idea, even to give in church, I teach you to fix what you give in church, 3 of us. Yeah, put a percentage to it. Now, there could be special givings, like what buy AC now. Now, but regularly, you should have a percentage around it. That's what the Old Testament was trying to teach them, bringing the idea of tithe. So you can give just 10% of it. I know what I'm talking about. Now, but people are so careless. You want to help everybody. You share the money to everybody. Everyone comes, I've not eaten for the past 2 days. You bring up money to give. At the end of the day, now what's going to happen by the end of the month? By the time you are now out of cash, guess the first thing you're going to do? You begin to calculate, how did this, my money even go? You now remember others who give money. Now what was supposed to bring you joy, now bring sadness to you, now begin to regret. Why did I throw my money away like that? And once that sadness and regret comes, you are losing your blessing already. You know what I'm talking about? There must be a lot of control. And now one of our people here, I told the man, thank God, you know, I've told it to many people. That's why some men get married and they begin to say things like, the wife changed him. Before we married him, before he got married, he used to give to us. That one, let me tell you, the wife is doing a very good job. I get to the point. Are you following what I'm saying? So you expect that your brother that just got married or that is married will still be gathering for the entire family, paying everybody's school fees the way he was before he got married. Is that what you expect? Better wake up from that sleep. Because when you, woman, become wife too, you won't let your husband to lose woman around like that. I'm not saying you should stop helping people. I'm saying there should be order around your life. Most of the things we call demonic oppression over our finances is simple disorder. Simple disorder. Like, no order around what you do. No order around your finances. Everybody is just throwing money up and down, you know, and with the advent of, you know, people now, Yahoo boys, throwing money, overspending. You're just, and sometimes, you see, some people is not giving. People that even have a problem with giving, they're even good. They have a good problem that they have, when I have to go tell. Some people is spending. Just get money. You buy what you don't need. Or sometimes what you need, but you don't need it now. Some things can actually wait. I know what I'm talking about. Some things you are buying today can, this is not my topic today. But some things can actually wait. And the sisters have to learn this. What you don't realize is that the thing you are seeing in the market today, it will not disappear from the market. He says that it will get more expensive. You will get richer. And you'll buy it that time. Say amen. Just want to spend, you know, when we're talking, when we're coming to church, you know, and you know, you've heard of all this Black Friday thing. Have you gone to any place that are doing Black Friday? You know, you get Black Friday, the kind of crowd you find there. But you know the problem with Black Friday? People end up buying what they don't need because it's cheap. So they pack many things they don't need. They say it's cheap. Do you need those things you are buying? I know what I'm saying. So will I say it's the devil? He's attacking my finance. Maybe not. Maybe you are the devil. And maybe a little more order to your life would have helped. Amen. And one of the things the devil uses to attack people actually is their bad character. A habit you don't deal with, start with habits that begin to affect you. If you already have a problem with greed, let me give an example. If you already have a problem with greed, you're already a greedy person. If the devil wants to afflict you, he knows what to exactly send to your life, and you'll fall for it. If you never have a problem with greed, the devil will not tempt you with stealing. Are you following me, everybody? That's probably because there's already a problem with greed. That's why temptations can come in that direction. So, yes, there are demonic oppression, but we cannot demonize everything. And that's probably in Nigerian church, we are always at one extreme or another. And when we try to balance it, people say, no balance, just get to an extreme. Everything was demonic. There was a time there was a Ponzi scheme that came into Nigeria, you know, was that MMM? You know, how many of you are following me by then? I had a very hot argument on Facebook about that. Remember this? And somebody said MMM is the money, and that once you put your money in MMM, you should come for deliverance. I came on Facebook and said MMM is not the money. Amen. So people, I went through a lot then. Even in my inbox talking, you a small boy. What do you know? I said, well, I'm a small boy, but I'm telling you, it's not the money, sir. You know, it's just wickedness. But he paid people low.
But the one I couldn't accept was saying everybody that put their money in the money should come for deliverance. Deliverance from what? You are just foolish. I didn't do MMM. That's the problem. People, when I was talking about it, I don't believe in all those consists. It's not even now. I don't do them. I didn't do it. But to now say we need deliverance? No, now that's too far. You can't demonize everything. At least let people take responsibility for their foolishness. I know what I'm talking about. Let people take responsibility for what they did wrong. You were careless. You wanted to get rich quick. So you put your money there. They ate your money. Say amen. How many of you lost money in MMM? Raise your hand down. You didn't lose money? You guys are born. It's a lie. Who lost money in MMM? Ultimate cycle. Who lost money? I'm seeing some people there. How much? Your life savings. I know some of these things are just, that's why before you put your money in some place, you make research. There was one stuff that was going on Facebook, you know, about last 2 years or last 3 years. A particular company, people are investing their money there. You invest, you get ROI and all that. Some of you, I don't know whether you put your money there. Like from the onset, and the guy that was powering it was doing it under the guise of being born again. So you even come out on Facebook and be rolling on the floor, speaking in tongues, shouting and all that. I told my friend, I said, now, as a matter of fact, one of my best friends, okay, one of my friends in school was one of his closest allies. But I still told that my friend, I will not put my money in this way people are doing. And he told me why. I said, it doesn't make any sense. I said, how can a company promise you 5 or 10% ROI? How? It's something that will definitely fail. Even banks in America don't give you 10% ROI. How will you make the money? You know what ROI is? Return on investment. How will you? It's a matter of time. Because you will not always make that money. But they didn't take it. I wanted to put my money. I read. I'm a science student. I'm not a finance, whatever. But at least I can read. So I read my this wasn't talent. I said, I can't put my money here. I'll be eating it. And eventually, when they began to go down, then I was pushing them up and down. They say it's a demonic man. Let me tell you people. Greed is what is disturbing you. Everything is not devil. Say amen. Shout amen again. Amen. Do you need some wisdom this morning? Because some of this is just like when I talk about, so everything cannot be demonized. That's what I'm trying to say. It's still this superstition thing that make people say things like, a lady is wearing long with one, they say you need deliverance. And you know, when I finished that service on Thursday, many people wrote to many young ladies here, thanking me and sharing the experiences with me of how they've gone through some terrible deliverance session growing up. As soon as you don't have to do anything, you just have to be fine. Once you are fine, you need deliverance. So imagine I invite some of those ladies, some of those ministers to this church, they'll deliver all of you. So you're wearing with all deliverance, you're wearing attachment, deliverance. It's superstition. Amen. Are you still here? Especially if you are fair. You look like water spirit. Amen. Superstition. Superstition. I strongly believe in superstition. Like that story I was telling people on Thursday. The whole trending story about the actor that died and all that. It's superstition that made them carry that guy back to that place so that an offer sacrifice. One said he survived because he poured Fanta into the water. Into the water. Fanta. And when I saw that, what just came to my mind? I said, you pour Fanta. I thought people say we should go back to our roots. Is Fanta our roots? Fanta was produced by white people. You offered what was produced by white people to your idol. You should kill you. Superstition. Sir, don't you believe that there are spirits in the water? There are spirits in the water, but why didn't that spirit take anybody that had life jackets? Why didn't the spirits not take anybody that had life jacket? Which spirit? You know, sometimes we overrate the devil. Can I share something with you? You know, sometimes I don't like talking to them because it looks like I'm saying I don't believe in it. I believe in it. There is devil. But we give him too much credit. Shall our ancestors had charm, had idol. Yet white people came here with gun. Their charm could not stop the gun from shooting. They collected all our lands, collected all our natural resources, and our ancestors that had charm, that had whatever, their charm could not stop white people that had just gone. Nonsense gone, no. As long as we overread the devil. Because, you know, when I read all this ancient, I say, why, when these people came, they say, oh, some of these kings resisted them, but they finally conquered. Some of those white people that came were not even born again. They didn't even come with the power of God. They just came with ulterior motives to steal from us. Yet our charm and sacrifice we are offering could not stop them from penetrating our land and raiding our land. So stop giving devil that much credit. Say amen. Don't do all of that. Don't be superstitious. That rat in your house is not a demon. Bring rat poison, it will go. I promise you. No, take it from me. Now, are there rats that can be demonic? Yes. Well, see that one in your house currently now? That always eats your food every time you come to church. So I observe that it's only when I come to church that eats my food. That's the truth. That's the only time you cook and leave it in the house. Especially it's not demonic. See, this rat, when I ate my certificate, rats eat anything. Amen. Now, when it's demonic, I'll show you how to pick demonic operation today because sometimes I say that it's demonic. Don't be superstitious. Don't be superstitious. Don't be. Another extreme that I've seen, for instance, I was dealing with on Thursday, is this idea of, you know, unscriptural methods in deliverance. You want to conduct deliverance, you're flogging somebody. You're using pigeon. What are those things? What kind of nonsense is that? I promise, when they want to flog you, you cannot say no. They'll be like about 12, surround you like this. And then you see what people wrote to me, you know, when I went home on Thursday, things people have gone through in the hands of some of these unscriptural things. Even, you know, one of that unscriptural things we do, for instance, is some of these unnecessary protracted prayers that we pray. So I'm waking up by 12 midnight to pray till 4 because we are binding the devil. Why? Why are you waking up by 12 midnight? Why should, so we say, because witches meet by 12 midnight, we should meet by 12. Are you people fine? I've already told you, for instance, that 12 midnight in Nigeria is not 12 midnight in Australia. You still don't want to hear. And I'm also asking you, why won't the witches readjust their meeting time to 8 a.m. on Sunday morning when we are meeting? Why are we the one that have to readjust to their time? I know what I'm talking about. If you want to pray by 12 midnight, it's okay. Spend time because the day is very cool. Everywhere is calm. You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can meditate. I use my nights a lot. But to now think that, okay, because I broke up myself, I'm binding whatever, that's unnecessary superstition. That's nonsense. And that already shows you in the devil's captivity. Because the bondage of the devil starts from the mind. Are you still here? Well, I have not even touched what I want to do today. So that takes me to where we are going to today. Okay? You must learn how to cast out devils and all that. And I showed you, I closed last week by showing you the authority we have in Christ. Remember that? The authority we have in Christ. The fact that the devil is defeated. We are not fighting to defeat the devil. No, we are not. He's defeated already. We are just casting him out. You know, he's defeated already. I explained that on Thursday. You need to get that teaching and listen to it. It will bless you. Now, let me say a few things. Satan cannot operate anywhere without, now this is very important, and I wanted to take this statement up. Satan cannot operate anywhere without the instrumentality or at least the permission of man. I said that again. Satan cannot operate anywhere without the instrumentality or at least the permission of man. In other words, it's a man that must bring the devil to function anywhere or at least permit him to function there. Are you still here? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we read of how the devil is the god of this world. But what we didn't pay attention to is how he functions as the god of this world. How? In whom the god of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. So where does he function as god of this world? In the mind of people. So he comes to people and plays with their mind. So the devil cannot actually come into any place except someone did something to bring him there or someone at least permitted him to be there. Yes, he tries to come in, but you have to at least bring him in or at least permit him. Are you what I'm talking about? So he said he blinds their mind. He blinds their mind. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22.
we find Jesus referring to Peter as the devil, as Satan, because he wanted to die on the cross. And Peter took him aside and was rebuking him, saying, "Now, Lord, it will not happen to you." And verse 23, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Peter wasn't the devil, but at that point, the devil had already indwelled Peter and was already working on the mind of Jesus through the words of Peter. So the devil can actually indwell people and use them against you. Are you going to be talking about everybody? So there are, the devil cannot function anywhere except through the instrumentality of man, or at least the permission of man. In James 4 and verse 7, he tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. In other words, it takes a man to resist the devil for him to flee. If we turn this scripture over, if you don't resist the devil, he's going to stay. So we permit the devil in our lives by either our actions or our inaction. I feel I'm talking about either by your action or inaction. If you resist the devil, he will flee. If you don't resist the devil, he won't flee. He will stay there. So you find out that people get oppressed by demons by the things they allow in their lives and by the things they don't allow in their lives. Are you still here? By the things they allow in their lives and the things they don't allow in their lives. So if you resist the devil, he will flee. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, neither, now that's very powerful scripture, neither give place to the devil. So look at that. Say, don't give place to the devil. Put up like NLT also. So it is actually people that give place to the devil. Put up Amplified. I will still come to this scripture. NLT is showing us. It says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. So it is man that gives opportunity to the devil. And so you can't find the devil just get into a place and begin to operate. Somebody allowed him. Either by what he did or what he did not do. And so how do people get demon possessed? How do they get oppressed by the devil? They did something. So this will help you, first of all, in your own life to know how to let the devil in and how to let him out. It also helps you when you have to help people. Because I've seen cases of relapse. You minister deliverance to someone, the person is free. 1 week later, the thing is back. Because the Bible tells us about the character of Satan, that when one demon is cast out from a person, that devil is going to return. Do you remember that? He said, when he returns and finds its house clean, what that simply means, when he comes and the house is empty, uninhabited, he will go and bring 7 more powerful devils than itself. So that is something that person would have done to stop that return of the devil, but he didn't do it, so it comes back. And so you must know how to help people, how to cast out devils, and how to even keep people from devils entirely, and even your own self. Are you still here? Are you still here? And so he said, don't give place to the devil. Put up like another thing, message or something. He's talking about anger here, which I will still address. He said, don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. So it is human beings that give the devil foothold in their lives. Say, not me. So they say, not me, not me, not me. So man must yield to the devil before there's an oppression of the devil. Man must yield to the devil. It takes, now, you say this is a powerful idol anywhere you know. That powerful idol came to be because someone brought it there. Someone brought it there. Say, sir, what if I'm not the one yielding? Do you know, even sometimes, it might be some other person that yielded to the devil to afflict you. But my point is that there must be a man in the picture wherever you find the devil operating. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not you. Someone that will visit a native doctor and afflict you with something. There are people, for instance, who are suffering what we call ancestral causes and all that. Now, ancestral causes do not come from nowhere. It is what some people did that brought it to you. So my point is that you can never find the oppression of the devil without man. The devil is like what we call a virus. You know, viruses they're not actually alive outside a human body, outside a body. I know what I'm talking about. Now, if a virus is flying up and down, it doesn't affect you. It's in the human body, it becomes dangerous. And so we see the devil, somebody must cooperate with the devil by either his action or inaction before there is such mess in a place. So I can begin to show you, people can open their doors, saved or unsaved. Can open the door to Satan and can shut it. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, the King James Version said, your adversary, he said, be super vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking, I like how King James put it here. King James says, seeking whom he may devour. So it means he cannot only devour everybody. He's seeking who he can be able to. So he's walking up and down looking for who he can devour. Seeking for who he can devour. I get what I'm talking about. Don't play with that word, seeking. Seeking is a strong word. It means it's not everybody the devil can actually afflict. I get what I'm talking about. It is people that allow him. What did Peter now say in verse 9? After saying who he may devour, how do you stop from devouring you? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, you don't want to devour, you resist him. If you don't resist him, he will devour you. So there is something I can do and the devil cannot come near. There's something I can do too and the devil will come. Are you following? I'm talking about everybody. Seeking who he may devour. So it's a search. He still says he's walking about and devouring everybody. No, he can't. He's seeking who is not resisting him. Seeking who is not standing against him. Seeking for who is not fighting. Who is actually letting him play. And he's really going to play. So this will help you when you minister to people. With some of the knowledge I have about deliverance ministry, sometimes I come to places and without even needing to hear from God, I can almost tell you, this one is under the torment of the devil. How do you know? I know how people open their doors to the devil. And once that door has been opened, I know. So there are a few things people will share with me. I can tell you that one is under the satanic torment. Are you still here? And so, one of the things that opens the door to the devil, of course, that one is normal. I won't say much about that. It's unbelief in Christ. Once you're not a believer, you've opened your door to the devil. Keep that one. Once you're not a believer. Every unbeliever has not just opened the door to the devil, but the devil is ruling him. How did Adam get the devil into his life? By not believing in what Jesus offered him. So Ephesians 2 tells us in verse 1, okay, about the reality of every unbeliever. Look at that. And you, talking about the believer in Christ, had he quickened who we are dead in trespasses and sins. So you are dead at a time. Verse 2 is key. Let's read together. We are in time past. You walked according to the course of this world. According to what? The prince of the power of the air. The spirits that now walketh in who? So there's a spirit that works in every disobedient child. Now, that's not disobedience to your parents. Disobedience to the gospel here. Unbelievers. Probably like NLT of this verse. Let's take it like a mass choir. Are you ready? I need your voice. Are you ready? Let's go together. Used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in your sin world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So everybody that refuses to respond to the gospel, that is a spirit that already possesses him. So the unbeliever, once you don't believe in Jesus, you've already opened your door for the devil to mess with you. Are you still here, everybody? Number one. Number two thing that opens the door to the devil, as you already know, is bitterness. I won't say much about that, I've addressed that earlier. That is that Ephesians 4 and verse 26. 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Let be angry. Be angry. Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. So when you allow the sun go down on your wrath, you've opened the door to the devil. It's not hard. You don't need Greek or Hebrew. Put up like NLT of that verse 26. So when people suddenly find out that the devil is that a lot of mess is going on in their life, sometimes they open the door through this. I've read many times, Brother Egan will say, they'll be praying for a particular person, and then at a time, the Lord will say, tell that woman to forgive people she's holding down. Because if she doesn't do it, even if we get this thing out, she will still open that door for the devil to come back again. Let's just get like a mass choir ready. Let's read together. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Verse 27. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So let me say this to you. And I've been saying this many times. It's very easy for many believers to open the door to the devil. That's why, for instance, in church like this, one of the things I try to fight very well is whenever there is anger, bitterness, people are talking, that one said, gossip, all those kind of things, you've opened the door to the devil. And if that stays long enough in a church, that church will become the habitation of devils. Forget that it's church. I get the point. This one said, that one said, this one said, that one said, I'm angry, I can't talk to this one, I won't talk to this one. And it keeps up. That's why, if I'm going to have a spirit-filled church, you have a role to play. All of us have a role to play. If all of us are angry with all of us, then the devil will have a free day in our church. And that's the same thing in your family. I can almost tell you, any family where father and mother are always quarreling, always angry with each other, those, the children in that family are at risk. The kind of things that happen to them, go and research what I'm saying. Some people come from such families. Talk of sickness, before you know, oh, that one was molested. Before you know, oh, that one was raped. All those kind of stories. It is the devil that they open the door to enter that family. Before you know, that one is now stealing. They say it's because the parents are ignoring them. Well, yes, but primarily they allowed so much quarrel. You're a fool. You are this. And then anger stays for 3 days. Anger stays for 4 days. You've opened your door for the devil to come and afflict you, your children, your family. Are you still here, everybody? So there are things you don't do. There is a way you don't let the devil enter your home. So most times when I get to pray for people, I'm sharing this only because you're going to use it for ministry. When I go and meet people, I find out that these guys are deep in bitterness. I always encourage them to get out of it because it's not as though if I bind the devil that he will not go. He will go, but he will come back because your door is wide open for him. Are you know what I'm talking about? I learned something. Your door is wide open for him. So even if I say, devil, get out, and he will go. Don't worry, it's not this one. Go. And once he just goes, immediately you leave. The person continues, that person, you will die. Once that anger comes in, it's just an open door for the devil to come and have a free day. And so you want to keep the devil out of your affairs, and you need to counsel people to do that. They must learn to break free from bitterness. Bitterness is a very terrible thing. And let me say this to you. There is nothing someone has done to you that you cannot forgive. So you see what anger, how anger is dangerous. When you are angry, maybe I slapped you. Now I want to see the foolishness of anger. I slapped you. Who slapped you? Me. So I hurt you. Now, you now become angry. Your anger will now open the door for the devil, not in my life, in your own life. So on top of the slap they gave you, you've used your own hand to open the door for the devil into your life. So at the end of the day, you lost on both ends. You receive dirty slap. You receive demons to mess with your life. That's why forgiveness does not do the other person good. Forgiveness does you good. Are you still here? Yes, I understand all that. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. I know that message. But forgive first. Forgive and do everything possible to do right by the person. Maybe not to get back into the person's, into a relationship with the person, but at least you can't be angry for that long. Amen. Many marriages are suffering today because there is a man who has been heartbroken 7 years ago, who did not heal from his heartbreak and carried that heartbreak and married an innocent lady, bringing his devils and his demons into that marriage. Because he's married now, but he's still bitter against the other person. Our family is going. So I'm going to tell you, deal with bitterness. I won't say more than that. So bitterness opens the door for the devil. Anger, bitterness, and all of that. Do you have other translations? Let's see, maybe message or so. Let's read together. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as a fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Touch your neighbor, say, don't stay angry. I shake the person's shoulder. Say, don't stay angry. Amen. So, how many of us are staying angry? May God help you. May God help you for real. Don't stay and don't go to bed. Aye. Put this one on your as your wallpaper. Don't go to bed angry. How do you even sleep when you're angry? Bad dreams. Well, that's what brings bad dreams. Don't go to bed angry. Now, see the next verse. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Don't do that. Why are you sleeping angry? Let me teach you something about conflict resolution. Don't leave till tomorrow what can be addressed today. Don't leave till tomorrow what can be addressed today. Don't leave till tomorrow what can be addressed today. Because you know, when there's a quarrel today, it is just a quarrel. When it stays till tomorrow, it is getting more complicated because that person, everything on your get you be angry, every small thing, he has done it again. It's compound. That, that quarrel lasts for 1 week. You have, you know, there's one mass they call compound interest. Everything has compounded. You know, at a time, you don't even know what caused the first quarrel again. You just know they are angry. So when they say, what's your problem? They say, what's my problem? Where do I even start from? You know, you don't know where to start from again because a lot has happened. Something that would have been addressed on the first day. One of the wisdom, when I handle marriage classes and all that, I tell my, you know, intending couples that they should not, when you want to address issues, don't attack people's personality and learn to address issues one step at a time. Now, I want to talk about a few things here. Number one, I don't like how you used to put food for me. Number two, I don't like how you used to press toothpaste. Number three, I don't like how you used to sweep house. Number four, you know, you've mentioned 7 things that you don't like. The person doesn't even know where to start from. And you know why you're mentioning them like that? Because you allow them build up. Why can't we trash whatever issue today? So that tomorrow when there's another thing, we face that particular one and handle it. I get what I'm talking about. So don't let anger, don't give them that kind of foothold in your life. Another thing that opens the door to the devil, let's proceed. Negative words. Words of doubt. Words of defeat. Words of unbelief. Words of fear. Will open the door for the devil in your life. There is nothing you can do about that. Because your door, the door to your life is your tongue. So once you begin to say, and you know, angels act on the word of God. Demons act on the opposite of the word of God. So when you are speaking faith, angels are acting. When you are speaking fear, demons are at work. That's why, you know, I've been involved in accidents, public transport, only once. And I can almost tell you who caused that accident. Because I had this woman in the car. She was so negative. Any small thing, hey, accident too. I'm not joking. Any girl of Jesus. Then I asked her why. He said, I heard that 2 days ago. She had many stories. So she spread it. I tried to talk, but everybody's there. And I talk until we got to Okigwe. I was coming for him to stay that day. We got to Okigwe and we met what we met. I left. And when I was leaving the bus very angry. Nothing happened to me, Sha. But then, if the woman had like 3 or 4 kids, she was trying to, everybody was escaping from the bus. She was trying to, you know, at the time I was like, let me just leave this woman so that I still waited to help her and all that. But sometimes we use our mouths to bring trouble into our lives. The devil waits to hear what you will say to know what you will do. Don't forget what I said. He waits to hear what you will say to know what you will do. So it's very easy for the devil to come into your life and wreck your life. Just be saying it. Be inviting him with your tongue. Be saying my life is a mess. He will make it a mess. That's what he specializes in doing. And so, you see why I say many people are demon oppressed and demon possessed? Because people in the world keep saying nonsense about their lives and the devil enjoys that. He enjoys it. So he's going to come and mess their lives up. So I'm going to tell you, mind what you say. Even when you are joking, mind what you say. Do not say one thing in prayer and then in your daily conversation you counter what you said in prayer. Amen. So, don't say, you know, a lady is trusting God to pass her exams. And then she keeps saying, this exam is very hard. Yeah, I got to get the exam. As in, it's mass failure. See the exam? Mass failure. Nothing you won't tell me. And it looks like somebody's arguing with you. But you keep talking like that, you're empowering the devil. And guess where the mass failure will start from your life? Because the more you are saying those things, you are giving the devil power in your own life. And so I say a lot about confession, but I can never say enough of it. Amen. Why didn't the Israelites enter Canaan? They said the people, the land eats its people. That's what they said. And they didn't enter Canaan because they said. So when it was time, God said to them, the things that I heard you say in my ear, that's what you will have. What did they say? They said things like, that land cannot work. Those guys will divorce. They said, the only two people that entered Canaan, Joshua and Caleb, said a different thing. And so, you see, the devil is not actually as powerful as we think he is. Most times, you are the ones that empower the devil in our lives by the things we say. So, what are you saying? Are you following me, friends? Apart from your daily confession, what are you saying as you interact with people? What are you saying about your health when you interact with people? The doctors have given you a report. Stop fighting with doctors. The doctor didn't do anything to you. The doctor gave you a medical test. That is what is wrong with you. Now, what are you now going to be saying from there? They've given you, showing you have anemia, cancer, pneumonia, what all those things. You now go about to say, I have cancer. And they say, stage for this stage, Adagwata, it can't be healed. That's just where I am. And, well, I'm trusting God, Sha. You see, you're just deceiving yourself. You're trusting no God. And the more you're saying that, the more you're empowering the devil. Amen. Learn faith. Stay in faith. I read the woman who said she got pregnant. You know, she had a delay getting pregnant, but eventually when she got pregnant, she went to the hospital and the doctor said, you know, tested her, said, that her BP is very, very high, unusually high. She said, but when that happened, she wasn't afraid. She was just very calm. And she just kept telling the doctor that, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. The doctor was like, well, I said, I'm totally fine. And the doctor said, well, let's check it again. And they checked it again. They found out that the first time they checked, that BP machine was 40. Now, if she had accepted that and I began to say, I have BP, you know what's going to happen? She will now become worried that they said her BP is high. Her BP will now be high because she's worried that they said her BP is high. What I'm talking about? You must know how to deal with the things the devil throws at you. Know what to do with your words. So you just begin to say anything that comes to your mind. You're going to empower the devil in your life and you'll mess your life up. Are you still here? Of course, another thing that opens the door for Satan to afflict people is rebellion. When there is open rebellion against God, against his order, against his word. You know, let me show you a scripture. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. That was God talking to Saul. Samuel talking to Saul. He told him, he said, now this was when Saul rebelled against the Lord, an instruction that God gave him. Go and do this. He went and preserved the king of the land and took some sacrifices, some animals, and even told Samuel, we took this because we wanted to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said to him, of course, obedience is better than sacrifice. And he now made this statement. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, I'm going to show you something. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So when people walk in rebellion, it's like you're a witch. You've allowed them into your life. And look at what that eventually did to him. Go to chapter 16, verse 14. Look at what this rebellion produced in Saul's life. Chapter 16, verse 14. Everybody, please look at this very closely. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit. Now, this is from the Lord. I think I've explained this before. It's not from the Lord, okay? It's just that the absence of God's spirit is an evil spirit. That's a story for another day. I will explain it later. But then, you see, an evil spirit came into Saul. What opened up that evil spirit? Because he walked in rebellion. There are open rebellions that people get into, and they allow the devil to get into that space. That's what the Bible is talking about when he says something like, he that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. So you don't walk in open rebellion against God's word, against God's word. In fact, to make it very simple for you, have you not observed that when God instructs people and they disobey that instruction, walking away from God's instruction is walking into trouble. So God says, don't enter that car. And you insist to enter that car. Whatever that was meant to happen to you, happened to you. It's not God that did it. It's rebellion against God. So you find out every kind of rebellion, whether even rebellion against church, against altar, against those things will empower the devil in your life. Another thing, and maybe this is the last one before we move to other issues, that will empower and open up a devil in your life. I have to put this one last. Consulting demonic spirits. Consulting evil spirits. water spirits, marine spirits, the spirit of your forefathers, the spirit of your ancestors, any kind of spirit you consult. All this crazy. That's why I've said it on Thursday. I want to say it again. Stop getting involved in such things. You are going to, in fact, that is one of the biggest things that tells the devil you are welcome. Leviticus 19 verse 31. Put it up. That's why, you know, I pity Yahoo boys. Because there is no Yahoo boy you know that is cashing out on a daily who has not involved himself. They say it's not serious ritual. You will not kill anybody. All you have to do is just to go there. If you have ever gone there, that this time is called for deliverance. I'm telling you because you opened your door for the devil. Look at this. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. So such involvement will defile you. So all this witchcraft, visiting witches, visiting wizards, going back to your roots, will defile you. And that defilement is that an evil spirit is going to work in your life. You're a believer, you are born again, and then for some reason they say they want to go and ask question to know what happened to your father. That in itself is even an insult to the spirit of Christ you carry, called word of knowledge. If you actually want to know what happened to your father, God will tell you. And if God doesn't tell you, he doesn't want you to know it. So let it rest. I know what I'm talking about. You're doing something in your village, you're hosting an event, and they say, they make rainmakers are coming. Make sure you settle them. And you go settle them. I'm talking to you. What do they use to make rain? The power of God? Don't do such things. And if you have been doing, I'm stopping you already. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God, says the Lord. Deuteronomy 18 verse 10. Deuteronomy 18 verse 10. Every kind of consultation of demonic spirits. See, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire. And this was a common practice around idolaters those days. He said, don't do that. Or that you said divination. Or an observer of times. Put up like an NLT. Or an enchanter or a witch. Read with NLT, everybody. Let's go together. For example. Do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft. They say, they met you on the road. They say, bring your palm. They try to read your palm. It means that you will prosper. You are even happy. Why are you happy? They read your palm. So you didn't know you will prosper before. You didn't read the Bible before. The word of God says he gives you power to make wealth. It's not enough. Someone has to read your palm and say, because they dress like this. You like witchcraft. And that's why I will never subscribe to all these astrology stuffs. That's what they call it. They say, I'm Capricorn. So they're using when you are born to determine your life. You know that thing is white witchcraft. See, there are some things that you begin to do. Once you begin to visit, and let me say this to you. Observe what I'm saying. Once your parents are visiting all those people, all these funny places, they will go and get their needs solved. But trust me, they'll be back there in 2 or 3 weeks because another issue is going to come. Don't strike such things with the devil. He will definitely fall out. He say, all my children have a deck. He say, did this. He'll be fine. By next 2 weeks, your mother is back because the child that had a deck has failed his exam. They mix and give. For the next 2 weeks, it brought devil into your life. The blessings of God make it rich and adds no sorrow. No sorrow. So stop all those divinations. That's where Igbo land is going to now. Everybody is rushing back to their roots. Do you even know your roots? Foolish roots. Foolish roots. That is worship of the dead. Continue. You see what I'm saying? Or cast spells, or function as mediums of physics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. You can't do that. And that one is very common in our generation now. Once you make work, they will say, your dead father wants to talk to you. My dead father. What's tell me what?
Your father is either in heaven or hell. Possibly in hell. What does he want to tell you? Don't engage in such things. Once you begin to make those moves. Now, I like you to pay attention. I know a family whose father did all this consultation and all that. When the man was alive, they were really rich. Currently, the children are going through from one problem to another. There is no family that is stable there. Not one. I'll tell you what I know. I've had to converse with some of the daughters, some of the sons, some of the grandchildren too. And some of them are breaking free from what their father... Just all this work, you're going and touching. All this, stop it. And you better begin to build your conviction now because in the Igbo, Nigeria, you may do cake with it. Do you know what that means? People don't visit prayer houses with their two clear eyes. What that simply means is that when challenges come, your conviction will be tested. Because when challenges come, they will ask you, there is somewhere I know that I can take you to. No. It's not like he's not native doctor. No, he's not native doctor. He's not, they wouldn't even do blood. He's just someone that sees. Let me make it very simple for you. You are either working with the power of God or the power of the devil. You are not in the middle. So if that person you are going to is not using the power of God, it is of the devil, sir. So don't even try to explain it. If I'm feeling guilty, you should feel very, very guilty this morning. So you stop that rubbish. Don't empower the devil in your life and come to church and you are binding him. You are binding whom you opened your door to by yourself. I feel I'm saying. So you stop all those stuffs. I shared with you my own story on Thursday. How even recently my family people call extended family that they say my grandfather, big great grandfather, made one promise to one I told you on Thursday, right? Made promise one idol a goat. And did not give the idol the goat. So that that's why we are not prospering. I say, what is wrong with me? I'm prospering, you know. They say I should just come so that we can offer the goat. You know the funny thing? They claim to have met some prophets who told them to go and offer the goat. I'm not that kind of prophet. You offer which goat? My father promised God I do goat. Give goat to the idol. What's my problem? But what you don't realize is that once you do that, you're already worshipping that God. Now that do something in the village, you say, okay, me, I will not come, but I will send money. Stop sending money. I know what I'm saying. I'm trying to break out from that, from idol worship, sir. Not an idol worship. If there are traditions in your place that are not diabolic, it's okay. There are traditions. You go to get married, they say bring cola not. Bring cola not. They say bring it. These are traditions. There's a way people behave. I know what I'm talking about, everybody. But when it begins to involve consulting familiar spirits, please don't do that. The devil doesn't play soft. Ha. And but he doesn't play so. You say, I'll just do it and you leave me alone. No, he's coming for you. He's coming for you. See the next verse. I know I'm hammering this because it's already happening in our society today. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because of the other nations. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. He says, because of this, their idol worship, that they even leave promised land for you. Now, you that is meant to be in promised land, they are now doing the same thing. And check history. Every time Israel turns to idol worship, they get into captivity. Check history. Every time a nation turns to idol worship, they become captives. So, you don't want to get into captivity, stay from idol worship. In any way. I get what I'm saying. Let me tell you. I rather not settle people. Settle rainmakers. Let rain fall on my event. Let rain scatter everywhere. Let rain, let breeze. Let God be in heaven and watch breeze carry my canopy. So that he will see what he's doing to his child. Now I'm telling you, I don't have any problem with that. But I know the power of God. I'm saying this because I come from a family of rainmakers. I've told you before, right? My family. Like my big, very immediate family. You make rain. So I know what I'm saying. But don't think I'm just saying, I know. And I know that I'm not using the power of God. We both know. They say just one leaf you bring in the bush and say one or two things. Which leaf? People are worshiping idol in this place. I don't do that. My immediate family. So I know people. wanted to celebrate something. I said, I've seen Rainmakers. I said, let me tell you, if I see you around here. And I shared my story with you. 2009. I went to preach somewhere. Have I told the story? I went to preach crusade. It was a mission. We were there for 1 month mission. And we put up our crusade in between the mission. And this guy, this man, with all confidence, came to meet me. He said, I'm not going to crusade. I said, yes, we're planning the crusade. Will you come? He said, no. They didn't tell you who I am. I said, no, they didn't tell me. He laughed. He said, he wanted it to fall in this event. It was in the middle of rainy season. It was August. I told him that if rain falls, it's rainy season, but that rain will not even fall. You know, sometimes we just exert devil too much. If rain falls in rainy season, it's rainy season. Make rain fall on 12th of January, very heavy rain. I'll respect you. But I've seen even Dr. Mokpai do that in a meeting. Oji River. Yes. January, beginning of January. He said, Ihoma Abiagoro Obodo. This village is blessed. The sign of it will be that in the night I leave this crusade ground, it will begin to rain. First week of January. I'm not telling you. So, once you are making rain, all this, immediately he entered the sky and moved. Everywhere was rain, heavy rain. Throughout the night it was raining. There's a sign of God's blessing. So this guy contested with this guy and he warned me. He said it will rain. I told him it will not rain. And he told me, I like challenges. He said, you see that beer pallet there? He said, I will sit down there and watch you when you pack up your crusade. My God. Even if I was trying to give you money, let me pack up that crusade. And so I was just muttering the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost said, make sure that you're on that stage before it begins to rain, before it rain drops. So that evening, this guy got, this guy's demonic power is real. The sky got dark everywhere. Stars disappeared from every, it was, and he was just there drinking and smiling. So they were still doing praise and worship. I want to preach now. Give me a mic. Because I know the instruction God gave me. I just took that mic and went up stage. And the Lord said, don't talk about it. Just start preaching. And right before me, the sky began to clear. And I was preaching and looking at him. I love challenges, sir. I was looking at him. It just cleared. And he just looked at me and smiled. Waved his head and left. I said, yes. Jesus is a winner, man. Glory to God. I won't consult you for rain not to fall. Why will I do that? Let rain fall. Let rain carry the canopy. Let rain scatter the crusade. I won't do that. We cannot use satanic means to fulfill God's purpose. So I come and pay you so that rain will not fall in my crusade. Come on now. How will you not get born again? And I've seen this challenge again and again. And don't challenge me too much. I won't kill you. But something can kill you. Something must kill a man. Because the very person that told me, oh, what was happening in the house in the village, told not in the spirit, but the spirit physically, this house will not stand. I said, this house. Like, guys, look at what happened. Like, I didn't just come up from nowhere. I know my Christian faith, sir. I said, it was September. I told him, sir, this house will stand by December. He laughed as he was talking. I started walking around the land. Walked around the land. And told the engineer, Pastor Chid, I said, start the building. And I told all my family people, I said, none of you should visit this land. Only me will visit it. So till the building was ready, nobody ever came there. It was only me visiting. I didn't get the point. Now, all he wanted to do was to play by his rules. I said, you can't play by your rules, sir. He's dead now. I didn't kill him. I did not kill him. I'm just trying to make it very clear to you. But he died. Because after that encounter, his leg began to decay. One leg. I've shared this with you guys here. The very day that I knew he has tried to afflict my life. Now God told me if I came. I came on a bike. The Lord said, when you get there, don't spend more than 5 minutes on that land. Don't let that man greet you. Now, I'm not afraid, but I follow instructions from God. I get the point. It doesn't mean you're afraid. The same God that protected Elijah told Joseph and Mary to carry Jesus and run. You understand? So I just got there I just saw, and I got on a bike and I was going home. You know, as I was going, this guy was running to the place. And he saw me. He said, I have a few names, I'll do well. Stop now, let's greet. I said, no. The bike man said, should I stop? I said, okay. So I was like, hailing him, I said, I'm coming back. He said, ah, coach, you're going after my bike. I said, okay, they go. And I waved, I said, I'm coming back. Yeah. After that, he got afflicted with that stuff on his leg. I don't know what happened to him. It's not me. But I didn't pray about that. But I'm on a sincere note now. No, seriously. Because your pastor killed somebody. I didn't pray about that. All this unnecessary. So let nothing make you consult. Say, come and pay. Settle what? I say, let rain fall. Is it not Igbanku? Let rain fall. It will not stop. Once you give wine, event is over. People that came will still eat rice. Rain or no rain, so let rain fall. I bet if you go to any event where rain fell, they say we will not eat again. Sometimes we just give so much credit to let rain fall. You're doing better. Say, okay, bring the related fall. The body will see enter the grave. I bet we'll not cover it again. Some of these fears and begin to consult satanic powers. Please don't do that. Are you still here? Now let me rush through something. I just have 10 minutes to be out of here. Have you been blessed? Now, just very something very briefly, next 10 minutes. Now, there is a way to know that the devil is operating in a place. Okay? Because one of the reasons I need to teach you this is because the devil is tricky. He always wants to disguise. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us, verse 14, that even Satan has disguised himself as an angel of light. So the devil always wants to disguise, always wants to make you not to know that he's the one causing the issues. And I can tell you one of the ways you know, I'll just mention like two or three, you know that there is serious satanic influence in a place. When you notice, you know, okay, let me start from the minor ones. When you begin to notice fear, watch what I'm going to say. If you get into a place or you meet a human being who is always afraid for nothing, undefined fear, unnecessary fear, there is satanic activity there. Satan functions with fear. Now, I'm not saying that somebody scared you or you're afraid of one of them. Well, have you ever found yourself being afraid of nothing? You don't know what you're afraid of, but even to sleep, you can't. To stand up, you can't. That thing is not a good thing. It means there's satanic activity around. Job chapter 3, what I feared the most had come upon me. So, Job was always afraid. So, you see that unnecessary, undefined fear that is just there. Observe what I'm telling you. Anybody, you see, call them Yahoo boys or whatever, that involve in all these small, small ritual, they are always very fearful people. Have you observed what I'm telling you? Always. You knock on their door, who is there? That thing is a sign that there is demonic oppression there. You know what I'm saying? Yes. It's a sign. Have you not been passing across a place in the night? And suddenly, for no reason, you just feel this strange fear come upon you. Have you ever observed that kind of thing? For no reason. Nothing is happening there. But just one strange, sometimes and most times, those kind of undefined fears. Because God doesn't speak with fear. Every time an angel ever appeared to anybody in the Bible, go and check. The first thing he says is fear not. Every time. Every time. Fear not. Once he goes, fear not. Because the devil functions with fear. Some people say, I had a vision of the Lord. And as I saw it, I was so afraid. Even when I got up, I was so afraid. It's not God that appeared to you. When God appears to you, there is calmness. There is peace. Yes, you might try to be afraid, but he will tell you, fear not. Fear not. Another thing that shows the activity of demons in a place is when you begin to see, let me read how I wrote in my notes, tormenting and protracted issues. And let me put care of them together. Torments, protracted cases, and then repetitive patterns. So when someone is being tormented, and this has lasted for a very long time, and then sometimes it even comes in patterns, keeps happening for long, most times there's a devil there. You know, in Mark chapter 9, verse 17, I want to show us that scripture before we wind down today. Mark 9, verse 17. It says, One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had what? A dumb spirit. So that
dumb spirit. It was a spirit that made that child dumb. So this father knew that this case is not just a medical case. It's a spirit that made him dumb. And you see, you find out how he knew. Continue. You see how he knew. And wheresoever he taketh him, look at what the spirit will do. It will tear him apart. He will foment and gnash it with his teeth and put up like an out of this. Whenever the spirit sees him, he throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And it's not what it's been happening. It's been happening. So the man knew what it was. When you find such tormenting issues, so this is the morning. Because you go back to King James, and I asked your disciples to cast him out, but they couldn't. Now see the next verse. He answered and said unto them, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? He said, bring him unto me. Now please pay attention now. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straight away, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed for me. That's why in deliverance ministry, most times, when there is a case, and you want to minister to that case, that person, and the issue escalates, don't be afraid. The demon is reacting to you. So, they say somebody is sick, and then you walk in to pray for the person, the sickness now got worse. It's fine. Suddenly they saw Jesus, he began to vibrate. Now see the next verse. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? They said since he was a child. So you see that protracted case, it's happened to him from when he was young. Are you following what I'm saying? Of course, in verse 22, Peter said, but he explained further, that sometimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. People are going through a lot, sir. So when you find those protracted issues, sometimes when I come into a place and I find this has been there for 8 years, 12 years, 11 years, and we've done everything. We've gone to every... What? There's a demon. There's a demonic case. Are you what I'm talking about? We've gone everywhere. We've carried him everywhere. That. Sometimes there's a problem in the natural, but most times it is manipulated by satanic forces. The reason why they can't even find... You know, I've seen Satan do amazing things. Have you ever seen a situation? You know, you say it's medical error. But sometimes I like to look at things more critically. I've seen a case where someone is sick. And for 8 years, they'll be treating something that is not wrong with the person. I've seen that kind of case. Treat wrong diagnosis for 8 years. It's now after 8 years at the final stage of the issue. Then I say, oh, we've been treating you wrong all the while. How come? That's why you must take prayer seriously. Because your prayers will not fight the doctors. It will help them act well. Because it is that devil that is tormenting him that will just confuse them. Every time they run the test, they're seeing a wrong thing. Someone has been receiving treatment for something for like 8 years. By the 8 years, I say, oh, we've been treating him for the wrong thing. So people just found out. And while you can fight the doctors and all of that, how come they got other diagnosis right? They didn't get your own right. That's why you must take prayers very seriously. We've had cases of going to the hospitals to pray for people, pray for them that are sick, we'll pray for them, cast out those devils from them and go home. By the time we come back the next day, the testimony we'll now hear is the doctor came to check him again and found out they've been treating him for the wrong thing for a long time. You know what happened? The demon manipulating that situation left. And they began to see clearly. Are you following? I'm talking about everybody. So if you find those protracted cases, Matthew 8 has that story again, verse 28. Matthew 8, verse 28. When he was coming to the side of the country of Gergesenes, okay, there met him two possessed with the devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. So these guys were possessed of the devil. They were fierce. But you see what Jesus did to them? They cried out. You see, every time they see Jesus, they will cry out. So sometimes when you come, say, ah, this person is mad, and you enter there, and they begin to react, there's no problem. He says, it's like when we got there, they got madder. It's okay. It is the life of God that is reacting and responding to. We should add more time. So you find those protracted and repetitive patterns. You come into a family as a lady that is not married. Coincidence. But you find 8 ladies. One of my sons told me, he said, he comes from an extended family where there are men. He said his cousins, older cousins from the extended family, some are 40. They are not married. The men. It's not like one person. 40, 42, 45. And they don't have a problem with it. and they don't progress. And for something, some of them are still living in their father's house and their mother's kitchen. And when it is one or two, no, but when it becomes that repetitive, you should know an enemy has done this. That's why it's not women not getting married. Men. I don't tell you it's because they don't have money. That's not the reason. In this generation, if you want someone to marry you, no matter how much you have, you'll find a wife. And I'm Maria. Bible's going to a village, you will marry. But you see, when there are such cases, it keeps happening. It's not time to live in denial. I've got families where I've helped. So you come to the family, you find a certain pattern. A certain pattern. This one, that's what I'm telling you. Don't ignore some things. This one died at 34. The other one died at 34. The other one died at 34. The other one, is now that, now please deal with that stuff. So are you trying to say it's not a demon, but their brain knows when they're at 34, and then the brain suddenly says, we will die. Are you getting the point? Deal with it. I think it was Bishop Diligence that shared a story of how his ancestry have been dying at 50 something. And all of them, the same thing kills them, obesity. He said, when he began to get to that age, he was already obese. And he said he did two things. He took to prayer, and then he hit the gym. You see that wisdom I'm talking to you about? He said he took to prayer, and hit the gym. Now, if you had said that, it's just coincidence, he would die at that age, sir. And so, when you find protracted cases, you go to minister to people, you find something that has been happening. They say, this has been happening for the past 8 years in this family. Pay attention to that. There's a demon oppressing that home. You find a home where there are 18 ladies in a certain family. None of them ever survives in their marriage. All of them marry wrongly. All of them marry wrongly. No, they're not all that foolish. Everybody's not foolish. And if I'm from that kind of home, where once your siblings get married, they drop out of the husband's house, you better deal with it. Don't make excuses. Deal with it. Check that devil out of your home. Are you still here? I have other things to say, but I don't think we have all the time now. So on Thursday, I'll continue. Is that okay? But I'll make one point and I'll still explain further on Thursday. I wanted to make that point at the end, but then there's a lot. I wanted to talk to you about other many categories of demonic cases, how you know captives from partners, but on Thursday I'm going to talk about that. But let me make one last point. One of the strongest ways to know demonic oppression, there are other things I will still explain on Thursday, but let me just jump and go and talk about this one, is discerning of spirits. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes all the examples I've given you will not be in operation, but there is a demon working there. That's why you have the Holy Ghost. And you must learn to discern by the Spirit that an enemy has done this. So that's you go to pray for someone, you go to minister to someone, and then while you're just standing with the person, you're just getting this bad. I've had different experiences that I cannot even share with you. Because you might think I'm just being superstitious. I've gone to pray for people, and just standing around them, I'm getting this foul smell. Not from, they don't have body odor. But it's very foul odor. And it's not from the environment. Most times. That's why I say the same of spirit. That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. He allows you to see into the spirit, to hear into the spirit, and to know into the spirit. You see, you hear. Sometimes you do not see, sometimes you don't hear, but you know what's happening in the spirit. I get the point. This has helped me many times. I go to some meetings. There's some meetings I can get to, I can tell you, it's not the spirit of God walking here. God have the end of spirit. There are some people that, you know, people are finding this one is fake, that one is fake. From the onset when I saw them, I already knew something was off about them. It's end of spirit. Sometimes you can get to your home, everything is fine, but you're just sensing a strange atmosphere there. Rebuke that devil. Don't be superstitious like I told you. But the Holy Ghost talks to us. And he talks to me. So when you notice that, whenever you notice demonic oppression, I will say more about how to notice it on Thursday. But whenever you notice demonic oppression, don't waste time. Address it immediately. Address it immediately. Amen. I said amen. And I've had a case of seeing someone, and the Lord said, pay attention to this guy. Every time he's close to something that will change his life, he always misses it. And you know what I'm talking to you about? Even manifested in the program. Because when it was shortly before you could lay hands on the guy, something would take him out. Every time he's close to something that will change his life, he will miss it. I get what I'm saying? Because that is that devil, maybe not in his spirit mind because he's a believer, but then around his life, pulling him away and pulling him apart from the things that will change his life. Now, whenever you go to minister to people and you sense this demonic oppression, don't let it be. Send it back in. There are people whose businesses are afflicted, whose businesses are under oppression. I will explain more on Thursday. When you find it, check it out. Check it out. Send it back to hell where it belongs. You've been empowered. Are you following me, friends? You've been empowered to check devil out of your own life and out of people's lives. Whenever you discern by the Holy Ghost, you find a case that has been there for long. And then the Holy Ghost begins to show you there is something you have to do about this. Please act on it immediately. Speak by the Holy Ghost. Send the devil packing. Never notice the demonic oppression and allow it to last for 30 more minutes. Never. 30 more seconds, sir. As you are noticing, you are sending him packing. As you are noticing, you are sending him packing. Everywhere you find oppression, deal with it. Everywhere you find man under the bondage of the devil, deal with it. The Lord will begin to help you to see. I know what I'm saying. We're going to help you to see. We're going to help you to see. Are you following me? He's going to open your eyes to see what is actually happening. But there are some people you are trying to talk to and trying to minister to that are under heavy oppression. You just don't know. He's going to help you see. There's a brother that used to come here some time ago, and I told my ministers, I said, this guy is under heavy oppression. And I told them, I said, the next time he comes here, I'm going to talk to him and cast out that devil from him. And he has not come from there till now. You know that story? I've kept asking about him since last year. I said, next time he comes, I'm going to cast out the devil from him. He has not come again from that. From that, he used to come home. Then I said that. I didn't tell him. I told my ministers. He has not. Some of you know what I'm talking about, you remember? From then till now, I've not seen him. I've been asking after him. Because the devil is a coward. Hallelujah. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I see and I know by the Spirit. I see and I know by the Spirit. So whenever you notice it in your life, that's why you cannot be too normal and too natural in this life. Don't try to explain everything around your life naturally, around people's life naturally. When you notice such things by the Holy Ghost, check that devil out. Hallelujah. Say again, I see by the Spirit. I know by the Spirit. Someone say, so how does this same Spirit work? I don't know how to walk by it. I will explain this next month, this month, Thursday. But you know that sensing by the Holy Ghost, sometimes it's what you just see. Ooh, just minister to someone and just see one monkey. I've seen demons in different ways. And I just played around the person. I say, stop. Stop following that guy. Believer's authority. But I again shared a story. How that he was talking. That's why demons, you think demons don't come because Jesus is around? They come. If you don't cast them out, they will stay. Said he was having a meeting with Jesus. Jesus, he had a vision. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin 8 times in his life. So one of those times Jesus appeared to him, said he saw a demon like a monkey that was making noise that Jesus was talking. He said he would try to talk to him. So he wasn't hearing what Jesus was saying, but that demon was making noise. And then he would look at Jesus. I'm like, come on, my Lord, my God, I'm in your presence. This demon is disturbing us. And Jesus did not stop. Jesus just kept talking. The demon was distracted. The demon just kept talking. And the brother again got angry and told the demon, get out. And he just went like that. And left. And he asked Jesus, why didn't you cast him out? Jesus said, well, if you didn't cast him out, I will not. I know what I'm talking about. If you let the devil in your life, it will never stop. If you see him around people's affairs, don't think that just because you are carrying Bible and you are anointed that he will go when he sees you. They will see Jesus. They will scream. They will react. All that. But Jesus had to still cast them out before they left. So you find him oppressing people's life. So if you, as you're doing follow up, you follow people up, pay attention. Some people you're trying to follow up, the devil is messing with their lives. So when you have the opportunity, say, hey, get out of that body. Let go of that hand. Some people are sick. I'll address this as we progress. And those sicknesses have gone beyond the normal. You just know there's an enemy afflicting this one. Take charge.
My heart is singing. 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 Yeah.
Hallelujah. Singing.
Woo. My heart is singing.
My heart is singing. He's singing. He's singing.
Yeah. My heart is singing.
My heart is singing. It's singing. It's singing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Singing. It's singing. It's singing.
So every time you notice this in your life, some of you, as I'm talking, you're beginning to really see some areas of your life. And you already know the devil is one messing things here. Ah. When you get home tonight, call a meeting. Not call a meeting of yourself and that devil. Say, let's talk. You've been messing around my life for some time. Today, don't normalize everything. No. So if you need to go back and talk to your siblings at home. So I just found out that this happening in our family is not normal. The Lord showed me. The Lord showed me. I want to say to someone, there is nothing the devil will want to do in your family that God will not show you. It's only if you ignore it. Let me say that again. I said there is nothing. Think of all the things you became serious with God. Almost every part that's happened in your family, somehow you perceived it or you saw it before they came. Next time, don't ignore. You are seen into the spirit. Well, because there is nothing the devil will do in your family. There is nothing that God will not show you. That is nothing. You might hear it praying. You might perceive it. You might just sense it. Get our teaching on how to hear from God. Because God will always be talking to you. Always. The problem is most times we ignore the things he says. Put your hands on your eyes. Pray the Holy Ghost all over this place. There is a rise, an increase in spiritual sensitivity. As you step out to the street, you will see, you will know by the Holy Ghost. If you are praying, pray. If you are praying, pray. My spiritual sensitivity is heightened. It's heightened. I see. Latambra cocombra taya. Kia barabarabash. Take 2 more minutes. Pray. Come on. I want to give you some time. Pray. There is an increase in sensitivities. sensitivities to divine promptings. Kamala Dabashata. Come and pray. In which the name of the Lord our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. Hey, Kalaba, you have 1 more minute. In which the name of the Lord our God is glorified. Our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. Kalabarataya, in which the name of the Lord, our God is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. In Jesus' name. The devil is always trying to wreck your life. Amen. Traveled for a meeting last year. Some of you know this story. For a meeting, traveled with my wife. That time, I think we're still in courtship, right? Then, and as we're driving down, I just sensed very strong, because we're actually going for something serious. The community we're going to was a tough one. And there was this strong satanic interference on the journey. Not once, not twice. The first time, you know, we just had crazy stuff happening. Either the car falls into a ditch, or just crazy things were happening. When the last one happened, I didn't say anything to her, she didn't say anything to me. We also began to pray in tongues. We prayed in tongues from there. So for like 30 minutes on the journey, I was driving and I was just praying. Shakalapara. It was a whole lot. By the time we got to that crusade, we saw why. I get to the point. Over 1,000 people had gathered already in that place. And there were a lot of satanic manipulation. The devil is not sleeping as you go about doing your ministry, sir. That's what I'm even going to say to some of you. Pray for your ministers, pray for your pastors. Every time we get on this journey to go bless lives, to go do whatever, the devil is every day after our lives. I get the point. But we're not afraid. I'm just trying to tell you, since even on Friday night, when, you know, they had rehearsal here, when I was going to drive back to church, when I was just stepping out of the house, the Holy Ghost just said to me, there is a strange device of the devil around you and your wife tonight. I'm telling you, we got into the car. Finally, I said, let's just pray. And normally she doesn't argue. I said, let's pray. We began to pray immediately. Just pray, finally, just we keep the road very clear. And we moved. Now, nothing happened. I don't know what would have happened. But you must always be sensitive to the spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Always be sensitive. Don't live life as though life is normal. Don't be carnal in a spiritual world. Don't be carnal. So people standing around in the market are not human beings. So I'm walking with their head. Around you. Your eyes are open. I say your eyes are open. You must be discerning to know. I've entered a vehicle. Immediately I got into that vehicle. The Holy Ghost said, this one by your side has been sent to do something in this vehicle. And I just smiled. I giggled. I said, I was still loading. So I was already praying under my breath to know what God would have me do. I prayed. Somewhere along the conversation, along the loading, then we took off. She said, I'm not going again, I want to go down. And I turned and looked at her, I said, why are you not going again? Because she was sitting by my side. And I said, I'm not going again. I said, I forgot something. So I told the driver, hey, you know, she has paid for this vehicle, why don't you wait for her to pay? Because she said, don't wait for me, forget the money, take the money, I'm not, and she left, I'm real life story, from Holy Ghost here. And I just laughed, only me knew what happened in the vehicle. And I kind of believe the Lord led me strongly to sit on that seat I sat, because she was going to stay there. Don't be carnal in a spiritual world. As you go about that serving the Lord will show you things. Attack the devil everywhere you see him. I close this way. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Steadfast. Resist him. But the Lord open your eyes. I said, but the Lord open your eyes. From now you get more sensitive with the Spirit. You see more, you know more. In the name of Jesus. You shall no longer wallow in the dark. You shall no longer be blind to the devices of the enemy. You will know. Not only will you know what is orchestrating, you will know how to deal with it and how to check him out. In the name of Jesus, you will testify of your victories. In Jesus' name we pray. Will you bless this morning, everybody?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.